good morning to this wonderful crowd who heads out to our Torah, come and learn on a Sunday morning. It is such a delight to be able to spend my Sunday morning with you. And I will speak very loud. I'll speak so loud you'll want to close your ears. My kids always say, "Mommy, when you teach, you scream." Okay. I'd like to today invite you to come with me on a journey to learn about what these 3 weeks are all about. Usually the minute the calendar says Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it's gloom and doom and we crunch up and then Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and we get all nervous. Today, I invite you to come with me on a journey to learn what these 3 weeks are all about, and we're going to learn that these 3 weeks are more than just gloom and doom. We must understand what these 3 weeks are all about from Yud Zayin B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, because the last pasuk of the Torah, the last three words of the entire Torah happen to speak about Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. It's like the Torah ends with this grand finale of Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Let's take a look at what and why. And let's begin this unbelievable journey. Source number one. Last pasuk in the Torah. Some of us know it by heart. Ulechol. I'm not reading the whole context, just the last pasuk. Ulechol hayad hachazaka. Moshe Rabbeinu did this great, mighty thing with his hand. What did he do? I don't know yet. Ulechol hamora hagadol. And he did, these are not the source sheets that we are using. There are other ones. There should be some spare. There you go. Ulechol hamora hagadol. And for all the awesome, frightening things that Moshe did, asher asal Moshe le'enei kol Israel, which Moses did in front of the eyes of the Jewish people. End of the Torah. End of the Chumash, end of Sefer Devarim. What is it? What did he do? What is this mighty hand and this awesome thing which he did in front of the eyes of all the Jewish people? Says Rashi, ulechol hayad hachazaka, his mighty hand, well, that's when he received the Torah, shekibel et haTorah. Ulechol hamora hagadol, the frightening things that he did, nisim ugvurot, all the miracles that he brought about. Le'enei kol Israel, the thing that he did last, three words of the Torah. What did he do in front of all the Jewish people? Shenasa'o libo. He decided lishbor luchot le'enehem, to break the Ten Commandments in front of their eyes. Just like it says earlier, ve'eshberem le'enehem, I broke them in front of your eyes. Ve'hiskim adat ha'kadosh baruch hu, and Hashem agreed with him, ledato, to his decision. Shene'emar, asher shibarta, yashar kochacha sheshibarta. You broke those luchos, yashar koch. Good for you. That end of Torah. It's like the last three words of the Torah are praising Moshe for having broken the luchot, and we know the luchot broke on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. What a grand finale. What an awful last act. Breaking of the luchot? Give me one more pasuk. We'll live happily ever after. Mashu, something to, like, you know, balm on my broken heart. What a horrible final act. So much so, says the Maharal, quoting the Yerushalmi, oh, it was even worse than that. You think that was a horrible final act? No, it was even worse. Source 3. Uyibirushalmi deshkalim, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani omer, haluchot orkan shishat tfachim. So if you measure the luchot, they were 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim. And Moshe Rabbeinu tofes b'tfachim, and Moshe Rabbeinu held on to 2 tfachim, and Hashem is, so to speak, holding on to 2 tfachim. It's like a tug of war. Like Hashem and Moshe are playing tug of war. Hashem says, no, don't. Moshe says, yeah, I'm breaking them. And kevan shasu Yisrael oto ma'aseh bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechotfan, Hashem wanted to grab the commandments back after Cheta Egel, but Moshe's hands were stronger. Gavru yadav shel Moshe v'chotfan. Moshe grabbed them. What a tug of war! And says the Yerushalmi, Hu shekadosh baruch hu meshabcho. This tug of war is what the entire last pasuk is about. Lekol hayad hachazaka, says the Yerushalmi. The yad hachazaka is not talking about the receiving of the Torah. It's talking about the breaking of the Torah. What? What a grand finale. Breaking of the Torah, breaking of the Luchot. Hashem is so happy. Hashem is so pleased. Hashem, why don't you break them for us to begin with if you're so happy with these broken Luchot? Let's try to explain why these broken Luchot are so beautiful as the last pasuk of the entire Torah, explains Rav Moshe Shapira. Is it just me or is the heat on in here?
The heat is on.
Someone just went out. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It does feel like
Says Rav Moshe Shapira, the 17th of Tammuz is kind of like a Matan Torah. It's kind of like a Shavuot of sorts. It's kind of like a whole nother Matan Torah. It's a different kind of Torah that we're getting on the 17th of Tammuz. It's the Torah called Shivrei Luchot, the broken Luchot, the shattered Luchot, for a group of people that are called Shivrei Lev, Shvurei Lev, broken-hearted people. You see, says Hashem, you know, right up until now, you are in the light and you're getting all these miracles and you see the hand of God without a shadow of a doubt, but there'll come a time in Jewish history not so far away, you won't see me so much and you won't really see my hand and you'll really wonder, are you watching? Is it possible that you are orchestrating all this phenomena that are happening under our nose? And for such a time in Jewish history, you will need broken luchot. For when your heart is broken and when you don't see Hashem, in fact, there will be people who will want to turn away from Hashem because of all the brokenness that they will see. And what do I give you? It's like the exit card. Wait, before you go, here's an exit card. Take a shard, take a broken piece of the luchot, take a piece of brokenness and take it with you. Because in life, there'll be a lot more brokenness than there'll be wholeness, and you'll need something to hold on to. This is what we call like a broken Torah. And Hashem says, Yashar kochacha Moshe, good for you for having broken this Torah. You know, there was a time in history where Hashem was called Nora. What is Nora? Literally, the feared one, the awesome one, the fearful one. Like we say in Shmona Esra, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Ha'el, Hagadol, Hagibor, Veha, Nora. Hashem is Nora because He is Nireh, because He is seen, because it feels like Hu Ro'eh Oti, because it feels like He sees me. So I have Yirah, I have fear in front of His awesomeness. Comes along Yaakov and says, Yah, wow, Hashem, I see you. Source 4. Veikatz Yaakov Mishnato. Yaakov was sleeping his last night before he goes to Laban's house in Beit El. Veira, Vayomar, Ma Nora HaMakom Hazeh. Wow, this place is awesome. Sees a dream. Heaven and earth connected. Angels going up, angels going down. Yeah, Yaakov could say Nora. He saw Hashem. He feels Hashem sees him. He could say Nora. But later on in history, in the time of Yirmiyahu, comes along in Yirmiyahu, in the time of the destruction of the temple, and he says, No, I'm not saying Nora anymore. I don't see you. It doesn't feel like we're being seen. Says the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, Source 5, Ata Moshe Amara El Gadol Gibor V'Hanora. Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, he could say Gadol Gibor and Nora, that God is awesome because He is seen and we see Him, we see His handiwork. Ata Yirmiyahu comes along Yirmiyahu in the generation of destruction and says Nochim Mekarkerim Be'Echalo. Non-Jews are frolicking in the holy temple. Ayena Rotav, where is your Nora? Where is your awesomeness? Where is your fearfulness? La Amar Nora. Yirmiyahu says, from today on in Shmona Esre, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor. He doesn't say Nora. He was upset. Hashem was not punishing the Romans in a prompt manner. And when Hashem is so hidden, you cannot bring yourself to say Nora. By the way, we say Nora. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola reinstituted saying Nora. We do say Nora. But you know, ladies, when you're in a point in life when you don't want to say Nora to Hashem, you don't want to look at God and say, you are Nora, I see you, I feel like you see me. For those times, we have something else. Take the word Nora and switch around the letters. And you get Aron. You get the Aron, the Ark. And what is kept in the Ark? The broken luchot, those shards, those broken luchot, which were treasured and kept in the ark. You can't call me Nora. You don't see me. It looks like I don't see you. How can a God who sees everything let girls like Hallel be stabbed in their beds? And fathers like, not so long ago, just a few weeks ago in current events, Michael Mark have a Shabbat table continue with 10 beautiful children without their Abba over there? On days when months and years and generations, when you don't see Nora, you have the Aron with the broken luchot for people who are broken-hearted. And these broken luchot are the thing that you're going to hold onto in the most darkest, darkest, darkest of times. And you know those psukim in the Torah, which speak about source 6, which speak about the ark, Vayihi bin Soa Ha'a, Ron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Vayafutso Evecha, Vayanusu Misonecha Mipanecha. What is significant about those two verses that speak about the ark? In the Torah, if you see it in the Sefer Torah, what do you see? Those two psukim have a flipped nun. Where's the backwards nun before the psukim and a backwards nun after the psukim? And it's almost like Chazal are telling us these two psukim are like their own chumash. We have the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and then we have these two verses that speak about the ark. But they have a flipped nun in front and a flipped nun at the end. Nun from the language of nefila, to be fallen, to fall, to break. And it's like there's five chumashim, and then there's two psukim which speak about the ark. It's its own Torah. The ark is its own Torah, because it has the broken Torah inside. It's, of course, it's not a different Torah, but it's the Torah that people who are broken are going to need. And you know something? How is that going to help me? How is knowing that there's an ark with broken Torah, how is that going to help me? It's going to help me because there's a little secret, source number 7, that Chazal tell us, you know, the ark, Aaron noset nosav, the ark, the people who had to carry the ark, they really didn't do much work. The ark carried the people who carried it. The ark carried you. The things that we sometimes think are so heavy to carry, sometimes those heavy things, they carry us. And I'm going to come back to it. I'm just kind of putting it out as something to kind of mull over, but I'm going to come back to this, that this broken ark carried those who carried it. Keep that in mind and come with me a few generations, a few years earlier or later, depending on how we look at it, to a different ending in the Torah. I just showed you the ending of the last pasuk of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Let's take a look at another ending of the Torah. What am I referring to? We just read, we just met a few ladies in Parshat HaShavua. And these ladies actually have the merit to have the microphone in their hands and to end a particular era as well. Who am I referring to? Take a look at source 8. Bnot Tzlofchad. We met them in this week's Parsha. V'yomer Hashem al Moshe le'emor. Hashem instructs Moshe, Ken, Bnot Tzlofchad Dovrot. Those girls, the daughters of Tzlofchad, they are right. Naton titen lahem achuza. You will give them an inheritance betoch achei avihem, among the fathers of the brothers of their father. The inheritance should indeed go to them. We meet them in Parshat Pinchas. But at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, the last few psukim of Sefer Bamidbar end with the five girls of Bnot Tzlofchad. Why am I making a big deal of it? Because endings are significant. The end of the book of Bamidbar, if you think about it, Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and then we have the last Chumash, it's called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah, a repetition of the Torah. It has its own status. Of course, it's part of the Torah, obviously. But it has its own status. There's the four books, and then there's the Mishneh Torah, which goes over everything. So in essence, if you think about it, the end of Bamidbar is also kind of like the end of an era. Then there's Mishneh Torah, and it goes over everything. But the end of the book of Bamidbar is also the end of an era. And it's so interesting to note, what does that book of Bamidbar end with? It's kind of almost like the end of not the end of Torah. Dvarim is the end of the Torah. But if Dvarim is Mishneh Torah, then there is significance to the finality of the end of the book of Bamidbar. And who holds the microphone at the end of Bamidbar? It's five women. Source number 9. We don't want inheritance to go from one Shebet to another Shebet, and therefore, Pasuk Yud Ken Asu Bnot Tzlofchad, you Bnot Tzlofchad did correctly. V'tihiyana, look, we have their names: Machla, Tirza, Chogla, Milka, Noah. They married their cousins. Who cares? Second to last of the pasuk of the Torah, of the Sefer Bamidbar, I have to know who they married. Yes, you do. Mimishpachot bnei Menashe, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, el ha-mitzvot ha-mishpatim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe et bnei Yisrael b'arvot Moab al Yarden Yericho. The end of Sefer Bamidbar, the end of an era. Why do these five girls and their whole story of wanting to enter Eretz Yisrael, wanting inheritance, why do they marry to end Sefer Bamidbar and thus ending an era? And what does all this have to do with the 3 weeks? Let's see if we can try to tie it all together. Source 10. Chazal tell us 23 nashim yesharot gdolot betzidkut ayu b'Yisrael. They were 23 women, righteous women of distinguishable character. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and the list goes on and on. Look at the last entry. The five girls of Bnot Tzlofchad. It's so interesting, I think, how the Torah starts with five women. Let's put Chava there. Chava, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, who are all like a repeat of Chava, but that's a story for another day. The Torah begins with five women, and the Torah, in effect, ends with five women as well. The Torah begins with Chava, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and the Torah ends with the five girls of Bnot Tzlofchad. Interesting. What's so special about them? Says the Sifri Bamidbar, source 11, Rabbi Natan Omer, Yafe koach nashim mikoach anashim. There's something, I don't have to translate. There's something astounding about the koach of nashim. It's greater than the koach of the men. The koach, I'm purposely not, koach means strength, but what kind of strength are we talking about? The strength of the woman is greater than the strength of the men. How so? What's so special about them? Well, watch this. Anashim omrim, look at what the guys are saying. Nanatna rosh venashuva mitzrayma. We're going home. We're going back to Egypt. Venashim omrot, tna lanu achuza betoch achi avinu. Give us a portion of land amongst achi avinu. The Emek HaNetziv, which I didn't print here, asks an obvious question. What's so noble about wanting land in Israel? Like, where else are they going to go? Uganda? Where else are they going to go? Chicago? What's so noble about wanting land in Israel? I mean, if you think about it, maybe just a pragmatic consideration. They need to set up shop somewhere. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? Sinai Peninsula? I've been there, done that. It's not a great place. Where are they going to go? What's so noble about wanting land in Israel? I mean, what are you going to be homeless? You're not going to go back to Egypt. You know that. With who? With a bunch of rebels who want to go back to Egypt? What are you going to do? Says the Emek Netziv, no, listen to their request. They want to live betoch achi avinu. They want to live with the brothers of their father. Why is that significant? These girls were from the tribe of Menashe. Menashe, Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe already was in Israel in the Transjordan, across the Jordan River. They set up shop in Israel years ago. The grandfather of Tzlofchad, Gilad, he was already there. These girls could have gone to the great-grandpapa, said, Saba, we're here in the Transjordan and enjoy the fatness of the earth. No conquest, no capture, user-friendly, come and sit on a hammock and enjoy. The Transjordan was ready and conquered already by half of Menashe, which went earlier. They don't want that. They want Israel, which hasn't been captured yet, that is full of enemies, which hasn't been settled. They want Israel. They want Betoch Achi Avinu, not with Grandpapa. who's already in the Transjordan. We want with our uncles who are here still in the desert. There lies their koach. In an environment of widespread criticism, where everybody is criticizing Israel and nobody wants to go, they hold a microphone to their mouths and they say, no, we want Eretz Yisrael. That's the koach of Emunah. That's their koach of Emunah. Hashem promised us, we'll get there. It will be fine. Don't panic. Don't freak out. We'll get there. That's their koach of Emunah that Bnot Tzlofchad are. It's the last message of the Torah. It's the final message of the Torah is this koach of Emunah. Don't fret and don't be nervous and don't judge by the facts. So what if we are like grasshoppers compared to their monstrosities? Why are you judging by the facts? Says the Midbar Rabbah, Source 12. ותקרבנה בנות צלופחד, אותו הדור היו הנשים גודרות, מה שאנשים פורצים. In that generation, women built and guarded and fixed all the things which the men breached and broke down and tore down. The men tore down, the women fixed. The men tore down, the women fixed. Notice the pattern, I'm going to come to it again and again. The men tore down, the women fixed. For example, says the Midrash, שכן אתה מוצא שאמר להם, take a look at חטא העגל. פירקו נזמי הזהב אשר באוזני נשיכם. Go get gold. ולא רצו הנשים ומיחו בבעליהם. Women said, no, we're not contributing to this cause. This isn't a cause that we're going to contribute. והנשים לא נשתתפו עמהם בחטא העגל. Women were not part of חטא העגל. וכן, this pattern repeats itself בחטא המרגלים, when these great, great rabbis came back, and the rabbis, the chief rabbi of every tribe is telling you, no good, no good. אבל הנשים לא היו עמהם בעצה. But the women didn't listen to this no good, שכתוב, כי אמר השם להם, מות ימותו במדבר. We see Hashem tells to this generation, you don't want to enter Eretz Israel? Fine, you won't, you'll die in the desert. ולא נותר מהם איש, and not one man was left, except for Caleb ben Yefune. איש ולא אישה. The men died out, the women didn't. על מה שלא רצו להיכנס לארץ ישראל, אבל אנשים קרבו לבקש נחלה בארץ. The men didn't want to enter, the women entered, so they entered. לכן, therefore, נכתבה פרשה זו סמוך למיטה דור המדבר. That's why this parsha of the girls of Tzlofchad ends the Chumash of Bamidbar. It kind of ends this era. Misham sheparzu haanashim vegidru hanashim. Whatever the men broke, the women fixed. And you know, I'm sure these women got asked a lot of questions. I'm sure these women got asked, why do you have to take the hard way out? Why? Why do you have to live this life of difficulty? Everything is already, everything is said. Go to Saba and everything is ready. Why? Why do you have to take the hard way out? Why don't you go to Ever Yarden? And why aren't you married yet? These girls, Chazal tell us, these girls were not young. The youngest one of the five was 40. And she wasn't married yet. And it was a big to-do, you notice, because the Torah makes a big deal about it that they did end up getting married. But they never married, at least in the desert, because they were chachmanyot and tzidkanyot and darshanyot. They were a good chap. They were smart and they were righteous and they were had wonderful things on their shidduch resumes and they didn't find anyone that would match the criteria that they would want and they didn't marry. And they didn't freak out about it either. They didn't freak. Today you're 23. Oof, I'm so worn out from dating. Is it shigaon? I'm 23. I'm worn out from dating. What a ruach of nonsense. And the mother is even more worn out. Oh, your friends already have grandchildren. Oh, no. The mother is more worn out than the daughter. And she makes her daughter feel like she's living in a hotel, living in the house. Why? Why? It's not insignificant. And I'm going to drill this home even more that these five girls who... Everybody was so nervous. You're not married. When are you going to have children? Okay, you'll go to your beloved Israel, but you're not going to be able to set up a shop. You're not going to be able to have children. You're already 40 years old. Yala, yala, are you crazy? I'm sure they put up with a lot of these questions. And what is the final message they deliver? Number one, we love Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael ze ima. We love Eretz Yisrael. Number two, we have complete bitachon in Hashem's promise. Well, the men didn't know it. The men knew it. The men knew it here. But the women knew it here. It's one thing to know you're going to be okay, because we learn everything will be okay. But it's one thing to really not freak out and to really not be panicked and to really be okay and to enjoy and not to freak out and not to panic of what's going to be and how's it going to be. And Hashem said, I'm taking you. You'll be fine. And they understood that. They really, really understood it. And this koach ha'emunah is why Hashem says, you take that microphone and you be the ones to close the Torah. These five girls, and we have their names, and you know what? We even know who they married. They married their cousins. They did. They had nachala. And even the oldest one, Chazal tell us, I didn't print it, married it to have children. Hashem did a miracle. Them like Yocheved, the mother of Moshe, who gave birth at 130. I don't know how old they were when they had children, but Hashem did miracles for all of them. They all had children and grandchildren, and maybe you are descendants of them. Who knows? Everything worked out fine, and everything worked out okay. This koach ha'emunah. But the reason I'm telling you about these women doesn't just end there. The reason I'm telling you about these women is because we are studying the end of the Torah, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, in order to shed some light on our end. What's our end have in store for us? We're also waiting to enter Eretz Yisrael, you know, for our final time. We're also waiting for our redemption. And we know that when we study past redemption, we can learn about our own redemption. And that's why I'm learning with you the end and the end, in order to learn about our end and what is in store for us. Take a look with me at this beautifully esoteric Dvar Chazal. Source 13. בגמרא מסכת ברכות says, רב אליעזר אומר, שלוש משמרות הווה הלילה. There's three משמרות, three watches during the night. When you have a night, you can divide it into three. There's shift one of the night, shift two of the night, and shift three of the night. Night is always a metaphor for exile, for hard times. Your exile, your night, the night of the Jewish people, can be divided into three shifts. Ve'al kol mishmar u'mishmar yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'shoeg k'ari. At every shift, Hashem roars like a lion. Shene'emar, Hashem imarom yish'ag, mimo'on kodshu eten kolo, sha'og yish'ag al naveo. Three times, roaring, roaring, roaring. Says the Gemara, you have three roars. Hashem roars like a lion three times at night. Let's take a look at these three shifts of the night. V'siman ledavar. By the way, if you want to know when one shift is over and another shift begins, here's a sign. When you see this, you know what shift you're in. Mishmeret rishona. The first shift of the night, chamor no'er. The donkey brays? Okay. The donkey brays. Shnia klavim tzoakim. The second shift, dogs scream, dogs bark. Shlishit, the third shift, tinok yonek mishtei imo, a baby nurses from his mommy, ve'isha mesaperet im ba'ala, and a woman talks with a man, which is a euphemism for a woman is intimate with her husband. Huh? Mishmeret rishona, says the Maharal, each watch is characterized by something. The first shift of night, the first shift of darkness, the era of the first destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, even the most chamor, even the donkeyest person, even the most chamor is always chomriyut, materialism. Even the most materialistic of people, they felt a loss. Even the donkeys felt something. donkeys meaning the people who were the most materialistic in society, even they felt the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. You didn't have to be so spiritually sensitive to be affected by the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. The loss was felt so acutely, everyone felt it down to the chamor, even the donkeys of the Jewish people, the most materialistic, they felt that destruction. Shnia, the second period of darkness, klevim tzokim. You got to be a dog to feel it. Kelev, lev, kelev. Somebody with a heart. Somebody who, you know, who was spiritually sensitive. Somebody with a heart felt the destruction of the second temple. Not everybody felt the loss so acutely. Not everybody. The ones who had a sensitive heart, they felt it. The kelev, the one who was like the one who had a sensitive heart. The third one, and you can probably already put the pieces together, we're talking about the destruction, first temple destruction, second temple, and the destruction, not of the third temple, but prior to the rebuilding of the third temple, when it will be time for the third temple to be built. Who will feel the pain most acutely? Who will feel the pain most severely? Whose heart will be pierced? Tinok yonek mishdei imo. A child nursing from its mummy. It's the mother-child relationship. Ve'isha mesaperet im ba'ala. And a husband and wife intimate together. There are two relationships being described here. A mother-child relationship and a husband-wife relationship. Those are the relationships that are going to feel it the most. Those are the relationships. Never before, you always had issues there, but never before in Jewish history did you have, to this extent, children at risk, child at risk, children at risk, child at risk, right? Children who cannot get into this school, cannot get into that school. Children. How do we talk to our children? How do we reach out to our children? Outreach to the children. This one is lost. That one is lost. Children who have everything. They have everything. They have their mother there to nurse from. But they don't want. They don't want. Ma, what do you have outside that you don't have over here? You have a room. You have everything you need. Why do you want to go there? That relationship between mothers and children. Or, in another manifestation, inability to have children. Inability to have children. All the problems with infertility. Tinok yonek mishdei imo. So many mommies waiting for that little one to be able to have them nurse. And they can't because they're waiting. And, you know, the one who made all the camps and the one who did all the child programs. And she cannot find someone to marry. And she cannot have children. Ech ze. Here you got it. The pain will be felt so acutely. When you see this, you know you're at the end. When you see so much pain in this mother-child relationship and any manifestation of it, or the husband-wife relationship, can't find someone to marry, right? This big shidduch crisis that we call it here, shidduch crisis. Isha mesaperet im ba'ala. She's waiting for someone to talk to. And he's not coming. He's late in coming. He's so late in coming. Where is he already? Or even she has a husband to talk to, but there's no one to talk to. It's an issue. It's a problem that our generation knows all too well. In these two relationships lies the pain of the last mishmeret, of the last shift. And if you are a woman who finds herself in such a predicament of these predicaments, you know that there's something much bigger going on than your issue. There's something global going on. There's something national going on. It's not about you, and it's not about your child. And there's nothing wrong with you. You're a fantastic mommy. You're a fantastic woman. And there's nothing wrong with your child at all. And don't try to find something wrong with your child. There's not. And there's nothing wrong with you either. We are living at a time so far away, removed from the Beit HaMikdash. The neshamot that are coming down into the world are suffering from Beit HaMikdash withdrawal symptoms. Zeo. And soon there will be the light at the end of the tunnel and things will be fine. But if this is something that we are experiencing, it's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with your child, and you're a perfectly beautiful, strong, wonderful, amazing woman, and there's nothing wrong with you or your child or your inability to ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You're living in this generation, and these are the characterizing features of this last shift. hold on a little bit longer, and I'll tell you how to hold on a little bit longer. Just like these girls. Just like these last five girls of the Torah. And the Torah ends with concerns. Who are we going to marry? Are we ever going to have children? Right? The Torah ends with those concerns. And how did they respond? We're going to do it the hard way. Hashem said it's going to be okay. Have bitachon, but not just in your head. And then in your heart, you're freaking out. In your head and in your heart. And it's going to be okay. You know, these girls could have thought, we are getting the raw end of the deal. We always get the raw end of the deal. Girls always get the raw end of the deal. Boys, they get inheritance and they get money. How come girls don't get what they should have coming to them? They could have, of course it's wrong. Chas v'shalom, we never get the raw end of the deal. But they could have thought we're getting the wrong end of the deal. There is someone in our recent parshiyot, he thought he was getting the raw end of the deal. Mize, everybody is getting, and he, or so he thought. Korach, he thought he was getting the raw end of the deal, source 14, to the point where Moshe says to him, Va'ish asher yivchar Hashem hu HaKadosh, what's your problem, Korach? Rav lachem bnei Levi, enough already, huh? The one who Hashem chooses, he will be the one. Enough already? Hashem says, enough already? That's how you talk to Korach? Enough already? Moshe, why are you looking down at Korach? He feels like he's getting the raw end of the deal. You know, one day, Moshe is going to want something, and Hashem is going to tell him, source 15, Vayomer Hashem to Moshe, Rav lach. Enough already, Moshe. Al tosef daber elai, oh, don't talk to me anymore. Well, Moshe wanted more than anything to go into Israel. And Hashem says to Moshe, enough already. You know why Hashem says to Moshe, enough already? Because Moshe said to Korach, enough already. Source 16. Lefi she'amar rav lachem b'nei Levi. Enough already, Korach. Hashem says to Moshe, enough already. What's going on here? Korach had a real legitimate pain in his heart. And Moshe didn't acknowledge it. What was Korach's pain? Korach's pain was, what was his job? Source 17. Ulivnei kehat lo nata ki avodat hakodesh alehem. The holiest job. Bekatef yisau. They had to schlep the Mishkan on their shoulders. It's a holy job. But he didn't want to schlep on his shoulder. Bakatef Yisau. He didn't want to carry. He wanted to be carried. He didn't want to carry. Tell me, who more than a Jewish woman knows what it means to carry Avodat HaKodesh on your shoulder? A Jewish woman. Here. Come, you are perfect show and tell. Who knows better than a Jewish woman how to carry Avodat HaKodesh on her shoulder? The child and another kid and another kid and another tuition bill and another tuition bill and a phone call from a Rebbe and another phone call from a Rebbe with this young milk and so many. And the responsibilities, and then, you know, camp is almost over. Then you have 4 weeks. You have to have them in the house with you. What are you going to do with that? What do you expect us to do with that? Avodat HaKodesh, and you have to schlep it on your shoulder. All the responsibilities and all the guilt of the long hours away from home when you cannot be with them. They'll be okay. You're not going to be. They'll be okay when you're not with them. It's a big responsibility. It's a big burden. And Korach felt like he was just schlepping all these holy things on his shoulders, schlepping the holy ark, schlepping all the objects of the tabernacle. But really, you know, it doesn't feel so lofty. It doesn't feel so great. So what do we say to a Korach? We don't say enough already. You don't say that to somebody who's carrying a holy burden. What do you say to somebody who's carrying a burden and feels so heavy and so weighed down? It's a holy burden, but it's so heavy. It's so heavy. Korach had two jobs. One job of the Levi'im was to carry. But what was the other job of the Levi'im? And it's the only way you can carry. The only way you can persevere through the job of carrying is to sing. Is to sing. The Levi'im's job was to sing. And it's brilliant because the only way you can manage the carrying of the burden. Source 18. Lamnatzeach tehilim. Al shoshanim livnei korach maskil shir yedidot. What's a yedid? Yedid, chaver, a friend. The only way you can make friends with your burden in life? Shir. Shir yedidot. You have to sing. You have to sing your way. You thought you were going to hear something deep? This is the deepest thing. You have to sing your way through it. I have a son, his name is Yedidya. He was born singing. He sings and sings and sings. It's so interesting. Shir Yedidut. The way to make peace with your burden is to sing. In Sefer Tehillim, there's a pasuk where Hashem takes the people who are shackled. Motzi Asirim, source 19, Bakosharot. Hashem takes the shackles out from their shackles. Shackles is kosharot, the shackles that burden you, that don't let you get on with life. Your shackles, says the Al Shir. You know what shackles are? Source 20, May Bakosharot, Bechi Veshirot. Bechi kosharot, shackles. Take the word, split it in half. Source 20, Bechi Veshirot. Tears and singing. Tears and singing. In life, when you are crying from the burden, the only way to get through it, sing. You have to sing. Like you know in Tehillim, Hazorim be. Dim'a berina yikzoru. Dim'a en rina always go together. Bechi vesharot. Haloch yilech ubacho. Bo yavo berina. Singing and crying, they always go together. And you know something? The very thing that you think is going to crush you, the very, very thing in life that you think is going to be the end of you. Remember, the ark carries those who carry it. You're not really carrying it. It's carrying you. The thing that you think is going to be your end, it carries you. My husband is always a little bit nervous when summer vacation begins because I stop working, I teach, I stop working, and he looks at me, you want to take a summer job teaching? No, I want vacation. I say, why, husband, dear, why are you so worried? He says, you're much happier during the year than in the summer. Lama, because during the year, I'm very anxious. I'm a very anxious person during the year. Drill sergeant, because there's so much to do and there's not enough time to do it all. In the summer, I have all the time in the world, but somehow I'm never happy because I'm not standing behind a desk. Mommy, you need a desk. You need an audience. Come on. Let's play work, okay? The thing that you think is crushing you, it carries you. Without it, you go crazy. But more than that, ay, ay, ay. Just a few weeks ago, we heard about a little girl who sang and danced, little Hallel, who was murdered in her bed. And she, if there's anyone who knew how to sing, it was her. The evening before she was stabbed, she was at a performance and she was singing and she was dancing. And the last day of her Shiva, it was Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. We said the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Ligmor Et HaHalel, Ligmor Et HaHalel. And the mother of Hallel asked whoever is saying Hallel to please sing it, because that is what Hallel, that was her message to the world. So during the Shiva, one of Hallel's teachers came to the Shiva house. It was actually her literature teacher. And she came with Hallel's last composition. It wasn't a musical composition. It was like, I guess they had journal entries. You have to write in a journal. So she brought Hallel's last journal entry. And it's kind of like a last will and testament of sorts. I'm going to read it to you in Hebrew. I'm going to translate it in English. And I think it's so beautiful. Writes little Hallel in her journal, Afiti uga. I baked a cake, ניסיתי להפות אותה לפי המתכון, and I tried to bake it according to the recipe. שמתי את כל החומרים בדיוק לפי המתכון. I put all the ingredients according to the recipe. וזה לא תפח, וזה היה נראה כל כך גרוע, but it didn't become a nice batter, and it looked so yucky. וטעמתי את הבלילה, and I tasted the mishkababo, והיא הייתה כל כך לא טעימה, and it was so disgusting. ואז הכל פשוט לא מוצלח. I decided everything is not working the way it should be. ואז אני אומרת לעצמי, writes Hallel, and then I say to myself, Hallel, אל תתייאשי. Hallel, don't despair. לא נורא, it's not terrible. עוד מעט, אמא תבוא. Soon mommy will come home. אמא כבר תעשה משהו. Mommy will do some magic. וזה יהפוך להיות מוצלח. And it will be fabulous. ואמא מגיעה, like always, mommy arrives, מוסיפה פה תבלין ושם תבלין, mommy adds this ingredient and that ingredient, ותואמים מושלם. We tasted and it was delicious. אמא, איך את עושה את זה כל פעם? Mommy, how do you always manage to do it? Mommy, almost like Halal is saying, in a few weeks, Mommy, you're going to get a sticky recipe, Mommy. You're going to get a lumpy recipe, Mommy. A recipe that is going to be like impossible for you to digest, to swallow in your throat. But Mommy, you always know how to make the recipe good. You always know how to add your emunah and your bitachon. You always find something in the cabinets of your heart. Mommy, please find the right things like always and make the sticky, terrible mess that you got on your countertop. Make it something good, because you always know, Mommy, the secret how to make things good. And this Mommy, oh, does she know Yud Zayin Betamuz. Oh, does she know it. Of all the five things that happened on Yud Zayin Betamuz, source 25, of all the five things that happened on Yud Zayin Betamuz, we spoke about the first one, the Ten Commandments were broken. The second one, they put an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. The third one, the city walls breached. The fourth one, Apostomus burned the Torah. The fifth one, they stopped bringing Korban Tamid. Which is the worst? Which is the worst? Burning of the Torah, breaching of the walls, an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. Which is the worst one? They stopped bringing Korban Tamid. Korban Tamid is a korban that they brought Tamid, Tamid, morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. From the day we got the Torah, 40 years in the desert, Korban Tamid, 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 Tamid. 14 years. In Eretz Israel, in Gilgal, when the tabernacle moved to Gilgal. 69 years in Shiloh. 57 years in Nov. 410 years for the first temple. For a total of 590 years. Every single day, morning and night, morning and night, they brought Korban Tamid. And one day, it all stopped because there were no more animals to bring, because there was a siege around the city, and they gave them a pig instead, and that was the last day. They brought the pig over the walls. You know the story, the pig put his feet in the walls, and there was an earthquake, and that was the end of Korban Tamid. You know what it means to stop bringing Korban Tamid? It's when the thing in your life that you thought was going to last forever. We all have our Korban Tamid, the thing that you think is going to be forever. Your parents next to you, the health of a loved one, a plentiful income, a loyal husband, a son who always used to learn good in yeshiva and suddenly he's not. The thing that you know is the most dependable thing in your life and it's never ever going to stop. And after 590 years, that thing's carpet is taken out from underneath your feet and you have an earthquake. In your heart, in your life, when your Korban Tamid is taken away, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the health, when the parent, when the child, when the husband, whatever it is, when that security has been shattered, when that Korban Tamid is taken away, when your Korban Tamid, Chas V'Shalom, stops coming, no, what do we do? Well, what did we do? On the day that our Korban Tamid was taken away, source 24, when those enemies entered Yerushalayim, they went to the Holy of Holies, they found those two beautiful Kruvim on the Holy Ark facing each other, and they took these two, the enemies, they took this beautiful Kruvim and they went all around Yerushalayim. Look, you rotten Jews, look what your holy God does behind the curtain. The Kruvim facing each other. This is the last picture which we had in our eyes before we left Yerushalayim. The wings of the Kruvim spread over each other. This is the last picture with which we left. All we have, ladies, is each other. That's all. That's all we have. When Hashem is not nora, nira, when things are happening on the news and it looks like, what? All you have is each other. The one to the left and the one to the right. That's it. You see it, Chas V'Shalom, at a funeral. When everybody's wings start spreading, that's all we have, ladies, is each other. And when those tablets broke, let's bring everything full circle, and the tablets shattered, and we have these broken tablets for broken times, and the letters flew away. According to Kabbalistic teaching, each person is a letter of the Torah. You have like a letter of the Torah. Nu, can you make a sentence with it together? Because you have to have a letter, and you look at the person next to you, and they have a letter, and you have to spread your wings. It's all we have is each other. That's all we have is each other. Look to the person next to you. Put your letter and their letter together. Make a sentence of it. Make a sentence of it. And the last piece before they kick me out of here, I don't have a clock, I don't know anything. When Hashem tells Moshe, go talk to Paro, yala, it's about to be redemption. Moshe goes to Paro, Paro, let my people... Paro, let my people go. And everything gets worse. Everything gets worse. And Moshe says to Hashem, lama? Lama hare ota la'am hazeh? Like, if you weren't going to bring about the redemption, why send me? Everybody's dying even more. No straw, they have to work even harder. Lama, lama. And Hashem tells Moshe a big secret. The Kli HaKar tells us, Moshe, listen to me. The Jews are supposed to be in Egypt for another 190 years. I'm not waiting that long. But you see, I got to crunch 190 years worth of suffering into 6 months. And for 6 months, it's going to be suffering unlike any suffering they've ever had before. So Moshe, don't tell me, I forgot. Lama hare ota la'am hazeh? You want them to stay here for another 190 years? They're supposed to be for 400. They already suffered 210 years. Zeo, I'm taking them out. But Moshe, I can't let 190 years go unaccounted for because this is the curse. They have to be for 400 years. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 190 years, I'm going to crunch them into 6 months, and I'm going to send 190 years worth of suffering in 6 months. When you are in this crunch, in the final redemption, understand that Hashem is not chas v'shalom lo ro'eh. Hu kol kach ro'eh. Hu kol kach ro'eh. But sometimes Hashem has to crunch, a colossal crunching into a very, very, very short amount of time to lessen the misery. And when we see things happening left and right, chas v'shalom, not to draw any conclusions. And how can it be? And if Hashem really was, Hashem is, Hashem always was, and Bezat Hashem, we should have the emunah of those five women, Bnot Tzlofchad, not just in our head, but also in our heart. Okay. Kol Tov. I'm sorry? כן, אז שמתי יוד שלא הייתה צריכה, שמתי יוד נוספת? שמתי יוד שלא הייתה צריכה להיות?
שלא ידוע, שלא בדרך כלל עובר. בדרך כלל אנחנו קוראים לשלושה שבועות בין המצרים. וכאן אתה יודע בין המצרים.
כמו מיצר, מן המיצר.
מובן הוא אותו מובן.
בפעם הבאה אני אקח את היוד.
זה פשוט, זה פשוט, זה פשוט. תודה. 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 תודה